Hi, everyone, and welcome to Eye on Markets Quick Takes. I'm Ali Curry, and every week, along with my guests, Amir Khwaja and Chris Barnes, we take a quick dive into the headlines on the Claris blog. Let's get started. Hi, Amir. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ali.
Hey, Ali. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to Quick Takes. Amir, let's start with you. What's your quick take for this week? Which headline from the Claris FD blog would you like to discuss?
Sure, Ali, thank you. So I'm doing CEF volumes and share in SOFR swaps 2023. I wrote this a few weeks ago, and really I look at market share using our SDR view product of US dollar SOFR swaps. And the way we do that is, I think for over a year now, we now have a platform ID of the CEF venues in the SDR transaction data. So we can categorize these venues as dealer to dealer or dealer to client. And I've really looked at the volume in 2023 of SOFR swaps on dealer-to-dealer venues and their market share. So, for example, if you look at that blog, it has lots of figures and stats. So, you know, we talk about, you know, also we enhance the underlying raw data in SDRs to really figure out what is trading from a price-forming share of wallet for the CEF venues point of view, right? So the most common trade in SOFR swaps for the D2D CEFs are spread overs. So these are traded as a spread over to on the run US treasuries. You know, just broadly a few numbers. So in the last year, there were 30,000 spread over trades done on D2D venues. And ICAP is a market leader with almost half the volume. The next most common trade type is butterfly trades. They have three legs followed by curve switches. And again, you know, different venues have different market share on those products. So really the blog looks at volumes, market share, both in trade count terms and in DV1 terms. And DV1 terms are a better proxy to the share of wallet that these brokerages or CEF venues are getting from their customers. And then on the other side, you have dealer to customer venues. So the way trading happens is that clients trade on D2C venues and then dealers hedge on the D2D venues, you know, that kind of flow amongst themselves. So obviously there's much higher volume on the D2C venues. So that's really Tradeweb and Bloomberg dominate that space. For example, there were over 100,000 vanilla outright swap trades on those venues. There's also lots of forward trades and IMM data trades, etc., that clients do. So I think clients typically are taking more outright positions, and dealers are hedging, you know, through spread overs or with curves and flyers, right? So really the blog looks at those stats and data. Trade counts, DV1s, by trading venue, categorized by D2D and D2C. In the D2C space, you know, both Bloomberg and Tradeweb dominate depending on the type of product that's traded, right? So the share varies, right? And yeah, anyhow, and there's lots of charts that are taken from an SDRView product. And I think that's really a quick summary of what that blog showed. I was going to ask Chris if you had any questions.
Thanks, Amir. The big thing that jumps out to me is when you look at the difference between D2D and D2C, D2D is dominated by spreadovers, right? A swap versus a US Treasury. And the charts kind of suggest that clients just don't trade those. It's tiny. Do we think that that's an accurate representation of what clients are doing? Or do clients split up a Treasury trade versus a swap trade?
Yeah, good question, Chris. Yeah, I think it's hard to know. I mean, clearly, there's some noise in the data, right? So it may be possible. But I do think, you know, the majority of client trades will be outright, right? Even in the dollar market, I would assume, right?
Yep.
And they, as you're right, what did we see? So it shows about 7,000 spread over trades compared to 100,000 outrights, right? So, you know, ballpark, that ought to be correct, right? But you're right. But if they're doing reporting in a way that's unlikely, because they should still be doing a package identification, right?
To me, the data basically says dealers trade spread overs, clients don't. And that is a conscious decision that dealers have made to manage their risk in US markets. And the reason I'm kind of going through that is that there was a recent article on Risk, which has a very clever headline called Clobbered, which is about CLOBs, central limit order books in US Treasury trading. And it's talking about how toxic flows leaked into the BrokerTec CME-owned platform and have really caused a change in market share for US Treasury trading. And it's interesting because you typically think of as dealers having that type of edge, that either information edge or market maker's edge or a technological edge that allows them to be kind of the leaders of the market. And what that risk article hints at, you know, is that dealers are being picked off in US Treasury flows because high-frequency traders and non-bank market makers are so much quicker, are so much better informed in terms of the information that they can get from electronic trading, that dealers feel threatened. Dealers feel that these high-frequency flows are so-called toxic, and so they are staying away from certain venues. Now, if you try and tie that in with what this picture is painting, right, of the swaps market, you would think that dealers are very, very active in US Treasury cash markets because all of their inter-dealer trading is in spreadovers. But I guess all of those spreadover trades are voice-broked. Right? It's not an electronic transaction whereby they're breaking up a swap versus a treasury and they're streaming the prices separately and they're trying to get filled at the best price. This is actually traded as a pure voice-broked package, right? Someone's saying, I'm minus eighth bid, yours. That is how it's traded. So these volumes are completely outside of those order books that Risk is talking about.
Yes, I will agree. And I think even those number of trades, 30,000, will be less than the number of trades done by high-frequency firms in order books in US Treasuries, right? Yeah.
Exactly. We're talking about very large notional, relatively infrequently traded compared to a Treasury order book, which is by the nanosecond, right?
Yeah.
It just strikes to me, kind of putting those two articles together, that if there was going to be an area of CEFland that could still be digitized and threatened by an electronic change, then maybe dealer-to-dealer spreadovers could potentially be threatened in time.
Interesting, yeah. One for future discussion, yeah.
And when you look at the client flows, that, I guess, is where the dealers are strong and are providing a very consistent access for clients, whether it's via streamed or RFQ. I guess this doesn't tell us how those trades are executed, whether they're voice, whether they're part of a central limit order book, whether they're streaming prices.
No, that's correct. Yes. So we have the platform ID of the venue, but not the trading protocol. And you know, they're allowed to use different trading protocols.
Makes sense. Thanks, Amir. Ali, that was the main questions I had today.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. And Amir, please share with us again the title of your blog post.
Sure. It's CEF Volumes and Share in SOFA Swaps in 2023.
Great. That works. Amir Khwaja, Chris Barnes, thank you both for sharing your quick takes. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Ali.
Thanks, Ali. Looking forward to it.
And that's our episode for today. You can read more about these topics on the Claris blog, and you can follow Ion Markets on X and on LinkedIn. Thank you for joining us.